We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. City Commission has a meeting tonight, 7 p.m. in City Hall, and we're going to get a preview of that here now in our next segment. It is the final meeting of 2021, and just one item here on the agenda, but it's something that happens each year at this time, and that is the report from the Chamber.
It is. It's so the first and foremost, it's kind of the annual economic development report. This is historically, that's been something that we highlight our economic development report for our half-cent sales tax and the companies that we've provided incentives to over the years. And so last year was the first time we did a joint report. The Chamber's always done one as well. We contract with the Chamber of Commerce for economic development services. The K-State Innovation Group and their partners do a report, and they've all been done separately. So last year we did our first joint report, and so we're doing that again. And so the commission will hear the joint report for economic development achievements and initiatives over the past year, and also actually it's for 2020 as well as some of the year-to-date in 2021. Commission will consider the annual contracts for those economic development services with the Chamber. That request is back up to where it has been in the past. It's been lessened because of COVID over the last year and the previous year. And so that total is $533,080. That's matched by over $600,000 in private funds that they have their own private funding initiatives as well. $40,000 of that $533,000 is set aside for Fort Riley military liaison work and supporting Fort Riley. And then the other component that they'll hear is updates on the Convention and Visitors Bureau fourth quarter report, as well as their annual request for transient guest tax funds. Again, the Chamber or the city contracts with the Chamber of Commerce to provide those transient guest tax services. And the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and that request is for $1,104,832, which is a little more than last year. Of course, those funds have been lower than in the past. So just as a comparison, in 2019, that was about $2 million in revenue. Last year, we got just under $1.3 million, and I think we're estimating about $1.5 million. So it's gradually building back up again, and we do provide other agencies, which are also on tonight's agenda, with some of those transient guest tax funds, assuming we are able to obtain them, and that the visitation and the visitors are using our hotel. That's a bed tax, essentially, on folks using our hotels. So, I think it'll be a good report, and certainly they'll lay out some of their goals and initiatives for 2022. And they've done things have been hopping. The Kansas Department of Commerce has been providing more incentives as well as more prospects to cities in Kansas to take a look at. So that's a positive sign for sure.
You know, I haven't looked through the whole thing here, but it does look like the transient guest tax is doing better than it has been in the past.
It is. It's kind of slowly recovering, as still not back up to where we were pre-COVID as far as people being comfortable to hold meetings and conventions and activities in large event centers. And certainly sounds like we're going to get a new little curveball thrown at us with Omicron. So those are all going to be some of those scenarios that will continue to provide some challenges for folks in the hospitality and entertainment business and meeting business.
And of course, those folks funded through transient guest tax, if it falls short, they just don't get their money. I mean, it's not a case where that's made up with property tax or anything like that. It's like it's budgeted transient guest tax. If it falls short, then the contracts for the various agencies fall short, and they just have to absorb it.
What is it, from the City Commission perspective, you guys look for here from the report? Is there, because I know you have to, when given these budgets here, especially for the Chamber, there's probably a number of factors that you each have to weigh.
Yeah, my main concern every year has been, you know, they talk about metrics here, but do we have good metrics? I mean, if you're getting $500,000 to do economic development, you've got to be able to prove, okay, did that $500,000, what did it do for the city of Manhattan as a whole? And that's sometimes difficult to articulate. And when people say, oh, we had, you know, 500,000 people look at our website, that's nice. But how does that translate into dollars? You know, how did it affect the property tax base? How did it affect the sales tax base? You know, what did it do in terms of social services? You know, what did it do for the city? And that becomes the real tough part on articulating.
Yeah, well, that's something like kind of find a challenge. Like, I understand economic development, but I don't understand it, you know, as well as some of these guys who do it every day do it here. And I think you're absolutely right about that. Articulating that seems to be kind of hard because you don't always see the return on investment right away. It may take a couple of years.
That's right. And sometimes the data is hard to, you know, when you get like sales tax information, it would be, you know, like take something simple. Say you put in place for economic development the platforms down there. Okay, now we all sort of feel like that was successful, that restaurants were saved, whatever. But how do you translate that into dollars? Like if the platforms hadn't been there, how much business would we have lost? Or how much did we gain? And a lot of times they're just making an estimate. You know, like we used to say in the Army, a guesstimate, you know, because you don't really know. And that's the real challenge. And sometimes it's easy. Like if they bring in like BevHub, you know, you spin that up and you get X amount of jobs and they get paid this much, and the folks live in town. Okay, you can see there's an economic benefit to that, crystal clear. Some of the others, maybe not so much.
And that's really the purpose of the annual report. It does quantify a lot of that. For you know, there was certain square footage of new building that was constructed that's never been on the tax rolls. So that's an immediate impact. And the other aspect of the actual jobs created. And so each of those jobs those items from capital investment that, you know, BevHub is an example that put in $30 million worth of improvements to a building that was vacant. Those are all tangible aspects. They're on their way to producing 37 new jobs. So those are those jobs and the money that those folks that occupy those jobs, where they live in the community, where they shop in the community, maybe they build a new house in the community. So those are some of those more tangible things that we do track.
Yeah, like we know we did that project with a community house a couple of years ago, and you know, if I look at that, I consider that an economic success because you put apartments in there, they're rented. There's a business on the main floor, the open area now, where they're teaching some flight simulation, and they got students that come in every week and stay in that building. They live in the apartments and they get trained, and there's a continual rotation. And so I think that thing has paid massive dividends for the investment we made in it.
All right. So again, we have that annual report here tonight. Anything else you guys are looking forward to out of this evening?
So the end of year, it's got a lot of renewals of licenses. We don't do a lot of licensing, but we do quite a bit. And then just our annual contracts for next year. And so we'll have all of the social service agencies' contracts. So we have 10 social service agencies that get about just under $450,000. And that money comes out of the general fund. For assistance, there's special alcohol agencies. There's about 15 different entities in that regard, and the contracts there total $466,000. That's one that has been lower in the past because of COVID, and we're hoping to see that start coming back up again. Specifically, there's about $82,750 for Pawnee Mental Health and $182,500 for USD 383. All of those are in there. Drug and alcohol education and treatment programs. And so one of the things that's on there is a lot of local governments, both county and cities, are doing opioid settlements. There's an opioid settlement for the city that's estimated to be a minimum of about $250,000. That's going to need to go for some of that drug and alcohol education and treatment program for that. So that could be a boost for that particular group. We also have the contracts with the Downtown Manhattan, Inc., the Aggieville Business Association, the Manhattan Arts Center, those are transient guest tax funds that we were speaking to. There's about $186,700 in that area. We have our annual contract and contribution to the Flint Hills Area Transportation Agency of about just under $130,000. And so those are some of the more significant annual contracts that, again, are there to provide to agencies and entities within the city of Manhattan as part of the city's budget process that we've been approved for 2022. A couple other big ones on there are recommending to the commission to award phase 9 of the North Campus Corridor. This is additional Kimball Avenue improvements. This would be to really pick up where the college and Kimball project stopped on Kimball. So that West Stadium entrance, parking lot entrance, going further east past the Grain Science entrance and the rowing complex. So that's that middle section. And then the other big component of that, it creates a reverse frontage road on the north side. So we eliminate all of those access gates that we were the access drives that we were talking about are a problem on Anderson, similar problem on Kimball, and have been a lot of accidents and safety issues. So in addition to the widening and creating turning lanes for some of the intersections, there'll be a new signalized intersection at the Green Science and Rowing area. Again, lots of pedestrian improvements, some beautification. All of the overhead electrical has already been buried. It was interesting where in driving around town after the windstorm, areas where we'd buried the lines were still had power, amazingly enough. So that's another added benefit for some of that aspect. But that reverse frontage road will go from College Avenue on that north side of Kimball back to all those agronomy areas, as well as and tie into that Grain Science complex, and ultimately would tie into Denison behind the K-State Office Park. So that'll be a big improvement. Again, that's about a $9.6 million project. Ebert Construction was the low bidder for that, and about a third of that is being funded by KDOT, a KDOT grant that we were successful with, about a third out of City University funds, and about a third of economic development funds. So we're appreciative of continuing that phase. We do have some opportunity. The contractor has proposed some sequencing. We were looking at approaching that project similar to the college project, where we did construction but kept traffic flowing in one lane in each direction. The contractor has proposed an option to close the project, and we'll accelerate their having it completed. It's something we're looking at very closely, since we already have the other Kimball project closed. There's very low traffic in that area now, just a few people going to Denison, so they could still go Marlette to Denison or Anderson to Denison. And so those are some things that we're looking at. So it may involve a closure from maybe March through July of next year for a big portion of that, which typically our traffic's lower, and we're looking at maybe some things we could do to improve some of our safety and lighting out on Marlette. Since we've detoured a lot of traffic that way.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that was a great proposal, because as Ron didn't mention, one of the advantages to doing that, while it's a little bit more pain closing it entirely, it would be finished by football season.
Yeah.
So what happens now is, you know, you don't have that nightmare when everybody actually wants to get there for the game. It would be completed. And so I think it's a great proposal. I hope we can make it work out.
Yeah, and that would probably alleviate some of the parking concerns there, because a lot of folks like to park on the north side. And
the other thing that'll be going on, the athletic department will be under construction with the practice facility in the east parking lot, as well as the volleyball and Olympic training center that's over behind where Cattown was. So there'll be a lot of construction activity going on in the area. The other big item on there is the next phase in Aggieville, North Manhattan Avenue, recommending award of contract to McCown Gordon, adjustment in their guaranteed maximum price. This is about just around a $6 million project, and this is to rebuild Manhattan Avenue from Fremont to Bluemont. About 40% of that project is replacing existing utilities. So our water, sanitary sewer, all of the individual water lines and feeds, meters to those businesses. Those are all very old, very unstable. All the water there is undersized as we're increasing our density in Aggieville, and just trying to keep what we've got. We need to replace those utilities. Obviously, that's an area that causes a lot of disruption to the businesses, and certainly it's one of those areas where we're trying to do our best to minimize that. So it'll occur in phases, but are recommending that project to move forward, and would happen throughout the year next year, and probably a little into 2023. So those are the big components on the consent agenda, but those we always have a lot of annual contracts for funds that are somewhat relying on some city funding for their operations.
All right, yeah, and a lot of that is just the time of year we're at here, time to do those renewals. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with more in focus in a moment. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.